Section 3, South Carolina's Waterways and Climate. As you read, look for the significance of the different river systems in our state, unintended consequences of changing the river's flow, ways in which the climate affects life in different regions of our state, terms, Black River, weather, climate, tornado, Bermuda High, hurricane, storm surge. If you enjoy swimming or water skiing, you are probably already aware of some of the waterways within the state, rivers and lakes that are great for recreation but have so many other purposes as well. If you enjoy going to the beach on warm summer days, flying kites on breezy days, or playing in mountain snow, you are already tuned in to the varieties in weather and climate in South Carolina. The landforms we examined in Section 2 are fundamental to making South Carolina what it is today. Equally important are the waterways that drain these lands and the climatic conditions over the land and water. These factors help to determine what work and what recreation we can engage in within the state. Waterways. South Carolina's magnificent system of rivers and lakes provides the state with adequate water supplies for its people and industries. The waterway system also powers electrical generating plants and provides very attractive recreational opportunities. Three main river systems drain the state, all running generally from northwest to southeast, following the tilt of the land. The Savannah and Santee Systems. The Savannah River and its tributaries, the Tupelo and Chattooga, form South Carolina's border with the state of Georgia. The Savannah is wide and deep, and even large ships can navigate up the river for several miles. This system drains only about 15% of South Carolina's surface. The most extensive system of rivers and lakes is the Santee system, which flows through the heart of the state and drains about 40% of South Carolina's land. The streams in the upper Santee system mostly arise in the mountains of North Carolina and enter our state as the Broad and Saluda Rivers. Farther south, the Broad is joined by the Pacolet, Tiger, and Enori Rivers, which originated in the Blue Ridge Mountains of South Carolina. The Saluda is joined by the Reedy River before merging with the Broad River at Columbia to form the Congaree River. Farther east, the Catawba River flows out of North Carolina, where its name changes to Wateree, then merges with the Congaree to form the Santee. People began tampering with the water flow of the Santee and Savannah Rivers as early as the 18th and 19th centuries, diverting water into mill ponds and using it to power mills with water wheels. Until the beginning of the 20th century, though, the Santee and the Savannah flowed largely unhindered to the sea. Since then, more dramatic steps have been taken to harness the power of the rivers for the production of electrical power. Power companies have dammed the rivers in several places to make huge lakes, reservoirs of water that can be released at a regular pace to spin turbines that produce electrical power. These lakes also provide drinking water and recreation, swimming, boating, hunting, and fishing. The most serious change in the flow of rivers began in 1934 in the Santee Cooper Project, a state-owned effort to generate electricity and distribute it to farms all over the state through electric cooperatives. The federal government helped with the project because it would put thousands of unemployed persons to work in the Great Depression. The workers built a dam on the Santee in Clarendon County, forming Lake Marion, and another on the Cooper River in Berkeley County, forming Lake Moultrie. Then they dug a canal between the two lakes, diverting most of the water from the Santee into the Cooper River. The project went into operation in 1942. The production and distribution of affordable electricity was very successful, but the Santee Cooper project had two very bad environmental effects. First, with the flow of the Santee River to the sea greatly reduced, the Santee carried less silt, thus less sand and soil were pushed out to re-nourish the coastline. Second, most of the silt now ended up in Charleston Harbor. Periodically, the silt would have to be dug out of the harbor so large ships could come into port. Several decades later, a new channel had to be dug to connect Lake Moultrie with the Santee River and redivert water and silt back into the Santee. The lesson learned was that all of nature is connected in one way or another. When using or trying to improve one aspect, one has to plan very carefully so as not to cause havoc on another aspect. It's called the law of unintended consequences. The PD system. The third major river system in South Carolina, the PD, is the least engineered by humans. Most of its rivers arise in eastern North Carolina and drain the northeastern quarter of our state. The Little PD, Great PD, Black, and Lynch's rivers all pour their considerable flow into the Waccamaw just before the Waccamaw flows into Winya Bay at Georgetown. These rivers do not flow rapidly through the Piedmont, picking up silt. Therefore, they are relatively clear rather than muddy. They are called black rivers or black water rivers because the tannic acid released by decaying organic matter gives them a dark color. The tidal effects of the Waccamaw and the Great PD made possible the great rice culture that flourished in the area in the 18th and 19th centuries. Other rivers. Several other important rivers arise in the sand hills or the coastal plain. They are usually black rivers and often run through wide, swampy floodplains. The Ashley and Cooper rivers that flow into Charleston Harbor are among these. Other important blackwater rivers are the Ashpoo, Combahee, and Edisto, known as the ACE rivers, which flow into St. Helena Sound between Charleston and Beaufort. This area was once dominated by rice plantations, but now is primarily used for timber production and hunting preserves. The ACE Basin Project is a combined private, state, and federal effort to conserve the floodplains of these rivers from intensive development. The ACE rivers, along with the Salkehatchie and Coosawatchie rivers, with their hardwood forest, wetlands, and marshes, provide crucial habitats for many species of plant and animal life. The natural beauty of the area is also worth preserving. Climate. Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody ever does anything about it, is a famous quotation often attributed to Mark Twain. It is likely that no one will ever do anything about it, because weather refers to short-term atmospheric conditions that determine whether it is hot or cold, wet or dry, calm or stormy. Climate is a long-term view of atmospheric conditions, the sum of many days or years of weather. Temperature and precipitation. The climate of South Carolina is subtropical, that is, not quite tropical, but quite hot and humid in summer and mild in winter. This is true over most of the state, but there are some variations. The ocean moderates the temperatures along the coast. In summer, the land heats up more quickly than the water, so cool breezes from the ocean keep the coast a bit cooler. In winter, the warm Gulf Stream, which sweeps up from the Caribbean Sea and the Gulf of Mexico, keeps the islands and coastal zone a bit warmer. Away from the ocean, the weather and climate are influenced by altitude. If you travel from the low country to the mountains, you will likely feel the air get cooler in any season of the year. Precipitation, usually in the form of rain, but occasionally in frozen form, especially in the higher elevations, averages about 49 inches per year. Rain is fairly evenly distributed across the state, except the mountains are much wetter. Precipitation is also fairly well distributed throughout the year. Summer is usually a bit rainier than the remainder of the year, but not by very much. South Carolina's four seasons. South Carolina has four definite seasons resulting from temperature changes. The average July temperatures across the state, except in the mountains, are around 80 degrees Fahrenheit. January temperatures are in the range of 40 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Winter, though mild, can have a few below freezing days and an occasional snow, mostly in the mountains. The mild winters attract many tourists and new residents to the state. Visitors are often surprised to see flowers blooming in the wintertime. Especially beautiful are the camellias and sasanquas. Spring is usually a season of warming, pleasant temperatures, gentle rains, and vivid colors of blooming azaleas, dogwoods, fruit trees, and, in the mountains, rhododendron and mountain laurel bushes. Spring is also the season with the most tornado activity. A tornado is a severe wind storm characterized by a funnel-shaped cloud with winds that can reach speeds of over 200 miles per hour. About 10 tornadoes visit South Carolina annually, and they can be very destructive. In March 1984, several tornadoes tore through the middle of the state from McCormick County to Marlborough County, killing 21 people and injuring 448. Weather forecasters are becoming more skilled at predicting tornado conditions and bringing warnings in time for people to protect themselves. In summer, South Carolina's weather is influenced by the Bermuda High, a huge, high-pressure air mass that often forms over the Atlantic. Its clockwise rotation sends warm, moist, southerly winds into the state, causing thunderstorms and wet summer seasons. The Bermuda High can, though, become stalled and stagnant and actually produce drought. In fall, the summer heat gradually lets up and the humidity declines. The annual growing season ends with the first freeze, which usually comes in Walhalla, near the mountains, in late October, and in Charleston in early December. The brilliant red, yellow, and orange hues of the changing autumn leaves are visual delights not available in all areas of the world. Summer and fall is hurricane season, with September being the most active month on average. Hurricanes are large, low-pressure air masses that generate high winds whipping counterclockwise around a calm eye. The storms roar out of the warm Atlantic Ocean or Caribbean Sea and sometimes come ashore in South Carolina. The winds of 74 miles per hour and higher can do great damage, but the greater damage to coastal areas is caused by the tidal wave or storm surge that accompanies the winds. In a major hurricane, the storm surge might consist of a 15-foot high wave flowing over the islands and beaches at 50 to 60 miles per hour. These winds and waves are terrifying forces of nature. In September 1989, Hurricane Hugo struck the South Carolina coast just north of Charleston and devastated the coast northward. Hardest hit were the coastal villages of Awandao and McClellanville, where winds reached 135 miles per hour and a wave 20 feet high swept across the town. 18 people died in South Carolina, 64,000 were homeless, and 270,000 were left without jobs. Beach erosion was severe, and boats were crushed into one another. The storm continued in a broad swath across the state. It uprooted much of Francis Marion National Forest, then damaged Sumter and Columbia before moving into North Carolina. The governor officially declared nearly half the counties in a condition of disaster. The destruction to the forest and other plant life and wildlife took many years to recover. Ask any South Carolinian over 30 years of age about Hugo, and they likely will have frightening and perhaps heroic stories to tell. As Pat Conroy said, the geography and climate we live in are powerful influences on our individual lives. They also help shape the society and culture we live in. As you continue to read about South Carolina, watch for evidence of how the physical environment influences our development as a state. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form tornado, Bermuda High, storm surge. 2. What are the three main river systems in South Carolina? 3. What is the difference between weather and climate? The following is a summary of Chapter 1. South Carolina is a beautiful state with a wide range of geographic features. The five regions of South Carolina are the Blue Ridge, Piedmont, Sand Hills, Coastal Plain, and Coastal Zone. Driving from the Blue Ridge Mountains in the northwest corner of the state, through the rolling hills of the Piedmont, to the beautiful coastal zone on the eastern boundary, people will see varying terrain, flora, fauna, waterways, and weather. Geographically, South Carolina is a small state where one could drive from the northwestern corner to the coast in less than 6 hours. Upon reaching the barrier islands along the state's southeastern coast, visitors can enjoy a rich experience of what life was like several centuries ago. South Carolina has three major river systems, the Santee, the Savannah, and the PD. With its great system of rivers and lakes, there is an adequate supply of water for the people as well as the industries in the state. These rivers and lakes also provide South Carolinians leisure activities such as fishing, boating, and swimming. South Carolina has a subtropical climate with four distinctive seasons. We sometimes suffer from severe weather like tornadoes and hurricanes. Hurricane Hugo, which struck in September 1989, was one of the most devastating weather events in our state's history. Considering the number of new residents the state gets every year, it is not just South Carolinians who realize what a great state South Carolina is.